The message today is, how are you building? You ever had to do preventive maintenance on something? Sometimes we think that, well, you know, I just really hate. In fact, I just looked at my car today and I realized I got to get my oil changed. I'm about 200 miles over. How many of you stay right on the mileage and get that oil changed right on the mileage? How many of you just ride on it? How many of you let it go, a couple hundred miles? We'll squeak another 1,000 miles. How many of you do that? Yeah, okay. All right. Let's be honest. That's good. Have you ever had an old clunker and you just didn't have the money to get it fixed? How many of you have had that? All right. Yeah, I've had several. I had an old 76 Plymouth Fury. Did more for my prayer life than anything else, I think. I had to pray everywhere I went just to get there. And you know, those old things, you just think, I don't have the money, I'm just going to let it go. I remember there was something in the front end that I was having, you can hear it. It was a wheel bearing. And when you turn, you can hear that thing grinding. And you know, it's like, yeah, I know what it is, but I just don't have the money to fix it. And I even had the means of doing it myself, but I just couldn't afford the part. So I put it off. And then finally, when I started making a turn, it wasn't grinding. It was clunking. I think the wheel was just about to come off. So I was like, okay, it's getting pretty bad. I'll go get it fixed. So I'm thinking, wheel bearing. Oh, no. I had to replace the hub. I mean, it burnt up everything. Even my brakes was all messed up. It cost me so much money to try to get that thing fixed. If I would have, in fact, the exact words of the mechanic, he said, if you would have just come in when it was a wheel bearing, it would have been so much less to do and replace. Isn't that true in our lives? Sometimes in life, we just put it on cruise control. Everything's fine. Everything's okay. My level of commitment, my level of giving, it's good enough. I don't know about you, I'm going to pick on my son, Zach. He's one of our middle kids. Zach is brilliant. In fact, he's almost smart enough to be dangerous. He's just a brilliant kid. All through Awana, you know, everybody else is studying like crazy, trying to memorize verses. Zach, he waits to the last minute. He takes a look at it. He's got it. So I test him like, you're just trying to skate by. So I ask him a week later, and that rascal remembers the verse from that week, the week before, and the other week. And I'm like, how do you do that? Oh, I just remember it. Show off. He's just so smart. He really is. But Zach was always known for, when we had a family project, we lived on the retreat center, we'd pick up rocks, always did a lot of labor. Zach was always, where's Zach? What's he doing? He's doing a little project that should have took 10 minutes, but he takes 20 minutes because he doesn't want to go on to the next project. Zach would work harder to get out of work than if he'd just done it. That was Zach, and he was good at it. He really was. You literally had to put a tracer on him just to keep him in the action of what's going on. Where's Zach now? He's always good at that, and I tease him. He's nothing like that now. He's got a family. He's got to work, and he's got a little hobby farm, and he likes to work. But I tease him about that all the time. And sometimes we just try to find, what's that? How much do I have to give to just get by? Can you relate? I think we're that way in a lot of things, aren't we? I think we're that way in a lot of things. But here's something that in the Sermons on the Mount, as we get into Matthew chapter 7 is where we're going to be. But Matthew 5 through 7 is actually the containing of the Sermons on the Mount. And as we look through these, God is giving guidance and direction to people to draw close to the Lord, and not just in word, but in heart and in action. And toward the end of these sermons, we come to the sermon, are you building upon the rock or are you building on the sand? He sets distinctions of people that are building a home, if you will. But we understand it in a reading of this text, as we're going to get into in just a minute, that it's not just talking about a home. Now think about this for a moment. What better person qualified to speak about where we build? What was the trade of Jesus? He was a carpenter. Now, we think carpenter is somebody's cutting 2x4s and 2x6s. We're putting together stick buildings, you know, right? Putting wood together. But in the biblical sense, A carpenter was one that not only built with wood, but they built with stone and brick and mortar. They were very well-rounded in building a structure and making it last. They knew what had to go into a building. They knew what was required. Now, you know, I know we have a lot of computers, we have engineers and things that do a lot of fascinating things, but do you know that we have engineers today with computers that examine the things that they did years ago and still marvel at the ability and the skill that they had, right? But all the people to give us direction of how to build our lives and to build our home than the carpenter's son. Jesus. But more than that, he is the architect of our souls and of our salvation. Amen? And actually, to phrase it as David did, his salvation, right? Not ours, but his. Amen? We are the recipients of his salvation. We're the recipients of his plan of redemption. We benefit from his goodness. Not our own. Amen? And so what better person to guide us in the building of our life? So we come to the example in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Let's read the text. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on what? That's right, it was founded on a rock. Verse 26. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, as we come to you in the reading of your word, we ask your spirit to guide us in the understanding, the application. Lord, I just pray that you help us to take with urgency the warning that you give us, the instruction that you give us, and the direction that you give us, that we will be intentional in each and every decision of our lives, that we will do a self-examination of today. How are we building our spiritual lives? How are we building in our physical lives that will bring honor and glory to you and greater blessing to ourselves? Stability in you, confidence in you. Lord, I pray your blessing on our families. Lord, if we're not building in the right place, we will suffer loss. Help us to understand your word today. Give us the courage to obey. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we look at this, I want us to understand that God is giving a physical layout, if you will, something that they could relate to and understand. This is what is necessary physically to have a strong structure, to have a strong home. It all goes to the very foundation upon which we have established everything on. This goes for nations. This goes for governments. This goes for churches. This goes for families. This goes for a personal life. Everything that we do will be based upon a foundation of some kind of belief. Do you understand that? I've been kind of following in different preachings and different things like that in studies, and we're finding that people that will identify with a Christianity or some form of Christian belief is declining so rapidly. In Europe right now, there's only about 4% of the population that make any identification whatsoever with anything related to Christ. Do you realize that? 4%. Now you think that's bad. But now we're finding in just the last few years that here in the United States, we're around 14% that lay any claim to Christianity at all. Well, when we talk about those things, it concerns us. And sometimes I think that we believe that all of this happens in a vacuum. And what I say that is meaning that, well, people aren't believing in Jesus anymore, so, well, that's terrible. So now they're just trying to be good people. No, it's actually just the opposite. Because what's happening is that we're finding that witchcraft, wizardry, warlocks, all of these things, Satanism, and all of these other things are exploding in growth. And we think, well, why in the world is that happening? Because when they turn from what is true, they turn to what is false. Now, they call it truth, but we understand that there's only one truth. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And that's Jesus talking, not me. Do you understand that? When they turn from the truth, they turn to falsehoods. There is nowhere else to go. There is nowhere else to spend that time in your life. So as we see that Jesus says, look, either you choose the right foundation or you have chose the wrong one. Well, everybody's like, well, I don't want to choose the wrong one. Of course we don't. But yet there are requirements based upon how that we live that will determine what we're building on. So the first point is that, what is a wise builder? Well, I'm glad you asked. The wise builder is right here, as Jesus tells us. He's the one who hears, right? Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, and then what? Oh, so there's more. So I actually have to do what I hear? I have to do it. That's what God says. Here's something that's concerning me just a little bit. Sometimes we think these messages are to the lost. But can I tell you, this message is for you, churchgoers, believers, the religious. Because do you see what happens in both of these? The wise man heard the instruction. The foolish man heard the instruction. What was the dividing line between the two? One did it, one didn't. One obeyed, the other disobeyed. A little stronger when you word it that way, isn't it? One was wise, one was a fool. While sitting in the pew at church, while reading the Bible, was a fool because he didn't do what God had told him to do. Are you with me? Man, that hits home, doesn't it? Sometimes we think, oh, this is for someone else. It's for us, people. It's for us, church. In James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, he reminds us, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. Well, what happens when we do that? Deceiving yourselves, right? For if anyone is a hearer of the word and is not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, but then he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty... Now, see, it's interesting that James words it that way. When we look into the perfect law, do you ever put law and liberty together? When Christ is in the middle of it, right? But when we look at law by itself, we're condemned, right? There's bondage, there's punishment, there's wrath of God coming upon that. But Jesus made it possible that when we look into the law, it drives us to Christ and we run to Him quickly. For forgiveness, for restoration, for forgiveness of sin. But we do that over and over and over again. So he says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. What we decide to do with the message that you hear today, what you do with the conviction that God lays upon your heart today, will determine the blessings that will follow in your life tomorrow and may even be determining factor of your eternal destination. Your response to the Word of God is building one block at a time in your life. We cannot build a good life with good intentions, amen? We must build with our lives by making those good responses to the godly actions based upon a conviction of the Holy Spirit that God has laid upon us by the preaching and the reading of His Word. Folks, we have become so comfortable with having the Bible, and sometimes I'm afraid we pick it up and read it like the Reader's Digest. We think that we can choose what we do with it, when in reality, if we don't heed it, then the punishment is even greater. The suffering is greater. The loss is even greater, because now we do so with knowledge. So secondly, the wise builder chose a good foundation. Here's something I want us to kind of think about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15, Paul is using the same vernacular of building upon. So in verse 10, he says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. So Paul's saying, I have received the gospel message directly from Christ, and now I'm delivering that gospel message to you. So I'm laying the groundwork for you. That foundation is Jesus. So now, look at what he says. And now another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. So now at the time of salvation, we see the gospel message, we're convicted, we confess our sins, and we follow the Lord Jesus. At the time of salvation, now we have a foundation. At salvation, we have now placed our faith upon the Lord Jesus. We've called him Lord. We're going to follow him as Lord. We've given ourselves to him. He is ours and we are his. Amen. And so now we have that foundation, but now it's time for us to build on that said foundation. Folks, I'm telling you, this is where we lose so many people. They make a profession of faith, they follow the Lord in baptism, and they fade away. Construction has just started. It has just begun. The responsibilities, the joys, the blessings that come from being a child of God. But notice in verse 11, he says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation. If you're not building upon Christ in obedience to Christ, in obedience to his word, there is nowhere else to build for eternal blessing. Are you with me, church? Okay, we know this, but are we practicing this? Verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation, which gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as though through fire. Sometimes people say that, well, what if I've gotten off on the wrong track? Well, those things that we have done in the flesh are going to be burned up. It's wasted time. It's wasted finances, wasted effort, wasted whatever. So many things that are vying for our attentions today. Time that we spend is such a waste. Are you with me, church? There's so many things that we invest in of no eternal value that rob us of resources and time and energy and understanding. But those things that are of gold and silver, precious stones, those are resembling the things of God. Because what fire does, it doesn't consume them, it purifies them. Amen? So our growth should never stop. Our building should never stop. And we grow in the Word of God. Guys, remember Romans 12, verse 1? I beseech you. That's a big fancy word. Sounds like you're sneezing in the middle of it. I beseech you. Paul is saying, I beg you. I beg you, give. I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is what? Reasonable service. That reasonable service translates into the very basics. We're in kindergarten right now, and yet the most difficult thing for us to do. Are you with me? Church, we spend so much time and so much effort chasing things, programs, this and that, things that look religious, things that make us feel good, when in reality, we don't need to be made to feel good. We need to be healed. We need to be restored. We need a revival. We need to start building back on the rock and not somewhere else. Are you with me, church? Our obedience to the Lord determines where all this goes. And the beginning of that is that we give ourselves as a sacrifice to the Lord. We give ourselves wholly and completely to Him. We give ourselves in a way that it will fulfill His purpose in us. When we look at 1 Peter... he gives us a little more background in this. In 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, "Therefore, laying aside all the malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And if indeed you have tasted the Lord is gracious." This is where the building takes place. Do you understand? And Peter, in the verses just before that, in chapter 1, he says, "But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel is preached to you." That word begins to shape us, correct us, instruct us. Kind of sounds like a verse that we found in 1 Timothy, doesn't it? It's profitable for instruction and correction and direction in righteousness. It's by the word that we grow. It's by the word that we build. Sometimes we think that, well, Pastor, I already got all this. I want to ask you, do we really have this? Are we really living this? Because in verse 4, he tells us, "Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, believers, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Are you following me, church? We come to him as a lively stone, as a living stone. As we build upon him, we do so in reverence. We come to him joyfully. We come to draw from his mercies. We come knowing who he is, unlike those in Athens that had a statue, a idol to the unknown God. We come to one who we know, but yet have we become so familiar that we just expect him to flow and ebb and give in to all of our emotional ups and downs and our in and out and our inconsistencies? Do we just expect him to take that? And that everything's going to be okay? No, it's just the opposite, folks. And when we neglect his word, when we neglect him, we're not building on him. When we build on him, we're faithfully obeying what he has for us to do. We're following in obedience, even if it's difficult. You know, it's not easy building on a rock. Do you realize that? You ever go camping and you're trying to drive a tent stake in the ground? Oh, there's been times I've just taken a big old tent stake. I mean meaty. About as big around as your finger. And I think, oh, I got this. And I just get a bigger hammer, right? That's a solution in it. Just get a bigger hammer. It'll go in there and just bent that thing up like a pretzel. It takes work to get it in. But you know what? When I find sand, oh, that's real easy. I can just push it in with my foot. And then you wake up in the middle of the night in a rainstorm, the tent's laying on your face. Well, that didn't work too good now, did it? It takes a little effort to make things anchor and stay where they need to be. The same as our spiritual lives, amen? Man, let's stop looking for the easy and start looking for the right. Let's stop looking for the convenient. Let's start looking for repentance and sacrifice and holiness. Are you with me, church? My second point, which may help you feel better. I only got 2 points. Verse 26 to 27 in our text. What did he say about the foolish builder? Oh, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like what? Foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house, and it fell. How great was it? It was a great fall. That translated, that last line is translated, it was fallen and destroyed beyond repair. So many times that we think that we've got time. What is it that keeps us from hearing the instruction of God's word? What keeps us from acting upon it? First of all, procrastination, right? I've got tomorrow. We'll do that tomorrow. This is a bad week. It's always a bad week. Are you with me, church? It's always a bad week. You're waiting for a good week. You might as well just quit now and admit that you're disobedient. Amen? Just admit it and allow God to empower you to be obedient. James chapter 4, he tells us, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." He's saying faithfulness is not for tomorrow. Faithfulness is for today. Amen? Do it today. You don't know if you have tomorrow. So procrastination is disobedience to God. Amen? You know to do it. I'm going to put it off. Secondly, the foolish man will fall upon arrogance. He thinks he knows better than God. Ah, I've got this figured out. All that stuff is so old-fashioned. I'm going to do it my way. Proverbs 21, 24, a proud and haughty man. Scoffer is his name. He acts with arrogant pride. Do you want to be a scoffer in the face of God? Then be arrogant. Then be prideful. Say, ah, God, I don't need that. I got other stuff to do. And in our arrogance, we become the scoffer. Maybe it's just rebellion that keeps us from listening to what is said. In 1 Samuel 15, 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. What? You would think witchcraft, that'd be the worst kind of sin ever, wouldn't you? But God said rebellion, same as witchcraft. That's kind of hard to take, isn't it? I'm not that bad. Are you? Remember, we're not comparing ourselves to each other, are we? Be therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's who he's comparing us to. Amen? For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. You know who it was that God was talking to? Talking to King Saul through Samuel. Saul refused to obey God's word. When we choose a poor foundation, there is no support. Let me hit on a few final thoughts. I'm going to go through these. Think about this. What is similar between the wise and the foolish builder? Both are building a life. Both are building a life. Sometimes we like to check ourselves out. I'm not going to be a part of this right now. I'm just going to go do what I want to do. We'll come back to this later. Doesn't work that way. Whatever you're doing today is how you're building today. Do you understand that, church? Both have chosen a foundation. We covered that. If they reject Christ, there's nothing else. Both have experienced the rains and floods and winds will beat upon that house and it will pummel their lives. We all will go through suffering. The question is, are you prepared? And my third thought was, they all heard the instruction. They all knew what needed to be done. How will you build? Matthew 7, 25. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. You want stability in difficulties? You start building today. If you wait for the time of trial and difficulty, my friend, you've got what you've got. You understand that? You have what you've already invested in. You can't change it overnight, but you can start anew right now. Amen? We can look back and say, God, there's a lot of things that I know you've been leading me and I'm putting it off. I'm putting it off. I haven't been faithful. My friend, you need to build for the future. You need to build in obedience. Whatever he's convicting your heart is, you need to respond to today. How sad that it is that the foolish man, Matthew 7, 27, the rain descended, the floods came, the wind blew and beat on that house and it fell, and great was its fall. It was final. The foolish man waited too long. I think the foolish man is one that rejected Christ. He refused the one true foundation. He refused the Lord Jesus. He went into eternity without Christ. And then when everything fell upon him, he had no help. He had nowhere to go. He had no faith. He had no salvation. He had no Savior. Church, I want to ask you, do you believe that the Lord is coming back? So many people have been talking about the events that are going on in the Middle East. They're like, oh, do you think the Lord's coming back? Can I tell you, I was just as sincere about Jesus coming back before Israel was attacked this last time than I is now. Do you understand? He's coming. But church, we say that we believe that, and yet we're off doing what we want to do. We're off building what we want to build. We're off spending our time and our efforts in everything but. Do you remember the one verse I just keep picking on you about in Hebrews? He says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much more as you see the day approaching. We're at 14% in our nation as the United States that make any profession of any affiliation. This isn't even true believers, any affiliation with anything religious that has to do with Christ. How watered down that is, I can assure you. And yet, we know that the Lord Jesus is coming back. And he tells us to fellowship more, inspire one another unto good works and love and serving one another. And as a result of that, come together, Don't neglect it. In fact, do it even more when you know I'm on my way. And what have we done? We've done less than we ever have as a society, as a community. But church, I'm asking us to examine ourselves. Have we neglected as well? If we know that our friends and family that are lost, that have no foundation, are going to die and go to an eternal place called hell, separated from God forever and ever, in eternal torment, in eternal suffering. If we truly believe that, don't you think it's time to pick up a hammer and get to work on ourselves so that we might be a stability and a strength to those that need us the most? Do you know who suffers the most when the church grows lazy and we don't witness? The lost do. The lost do. I want you to bow your heads in prayer for just a moment. I give you a lot of these challenges. What is it that's keeping you from faithfulness? Is it procrastination? Maybe it's just arrogance. We just think we've got to figure it out. We think that we know better than God. I know we wouldn't admit that with our mouths, but is that what our actions are saying? Maybe it's just a spirit of rebelliousness. Maybe we've just kind of got to the point, I'm just going to do it my way. And we just bull up. Do you realize that sometimes as we reject the Holy Spirit, we reject the convictions that come on our hearts, that sometimes it just develops a rebellious spirit within us. And then before we know it, we're saying no without even thinking about it. Is that going on in your life and in your heart right now? Maybe you're just aggravated with your pastor for bringing all this nonsense up. Maybe you're just aggravated and didn't really want to hear this message today. I've got enough going on at home. I've got enough I'm fighting with. And you're just going to throw one more thing on me? Can I impress upon you, my friend, that when we put God first and we establish all things in His hands, that He begins to work in all those things that you're struggling with and will take care of them for you? It has been quoted one time, it's not that the principles of God fail people. That's what people are saying all throughout our nation today. Christianity is nothing. It's no good. We see Christians fall and fail all the time. It's not Christ that has failed us. It is people fail to obey and follow the principles of God. Church, I want to ask you, is that where we are? Maybe you found that, Lord, I have been trying to build on you. Lord, I want to clear up what's done. I want to clear up where I failed. My friend, all you got to do is just confess it to the Lord right now. Just admit it to Him. And once you've admitted that, say, Lord, I want you to help me build right. Help me to get back in the Word. Help me to be more faithful to service, faithful to attendance at church, faithful to Bible study, faithfully doing what you've called me to do. Are you willing to word that prayer to the Lord today? My friend, I've handed you the materials to build today. I'm going to leave it in your hands. I hope you jotted down some scripture verses and you go back home and study them. But it's up to you now. If you have questions, I'd love to help you. I'd love to call. I'd love to counsel with you. Anything that you need, you come and see me. This is going to be our dismissal prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for using us. Using us as lively stones as you put us together with fellow believers in Christ. You build the body of Christ. You build your kingdom. And you use us to reach out to those around us. Lord, help us not to be distracted. Help us to be busy about building in our own lives in faithfulness and following you. Oh, Lord, help us to put aside all the excuses that come. Lord, there's things that are fighting for our attention and our resources. Give us wisdom to navigate those landmines that throw us off track. And Lord, help us to see the evidence of the joy that comes of building in you. Lord, I pray that you will build the lives of your people, the lives of your children. We'll see homes being strengthened, and we'll see your church falling into a time of revival and renewal, a time of conviction that we cry out to you in ways that will lift up prayers, begging for your intercession, that you will guide us and direct us and do some great things here in Florissant. Lord, use us. Use us up for your honor and glory. May you bless your people as we enter into the mission field today. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.